Well, good morning. For those who don't know me, I'm Ryan Leonards, and I'm a team pastor here at Ashworth Road. And today, I'm going to be continuing our series that we're calling Life Upside Down. Throughout this series, we're going to be looking at the lives of different people within our own congregation, people just like you and just like me, who are choosing to live lives upside down from the way that the world would tell them to live their life, simply because they're a follower of Jesus. And just like we already know, life isn't always roses and buttercups. So some of the stories that we are going to be sharing, especially today's story, can be very challenging, can share some very hurtful experiences that people have gone through. And so I just want to say, if at any point in one of these stories you feel overwhelmed with emotion or you just need to take a break, feel free to always step out if you need to. Last week, Pastor Brent looked at a life upside down when he talked about following Jesus means doing the hard things. It means saying rather than living for yourself and finding meaning in whatever makes you happy, it means taking your cross and following Jesus and doing what he has called you to do. It's living a life submitted to what God wants for your life. And so it's this harder way is what life upside down means. But there's other times where life knocks you on your head, and it actually flips you upside down, and you say, you know what? I honestly feel like flipping me back would feel so much better. It would be the relief that I'm actually looking for. And today we're going to look at how following Jesus takes our pain and it takes our suffering, our messy life after we've been knocked down, and how God flips it right side up, and he redeems it, and he gives it purpose. How he turns it into something so much bigger than ourselves for his divine purposes.
As a child, I was 7, and my dad sexually abused me. He abused all of us kids growing up. Grab a hold of us by our heads, and he would take his fist and hit us with it, or his belt, or kick us with his steel-toed shoes. I had told my mother about my dad coming in at night and raping me. And she said, no, I was just making it up. I ran away from home. Oh, oodles of times. Of course, the police would find me and bring me home. When I was 15, I decided to take an overdose of pills, and then they took me to the hospital. There I had my stomach pumped, and that was the worst thing I could ever get done. My faith really, I lost it, and it took quite a while for me to get my faith back. God has really helped me. He has shown me that he loves me. He wanted me to become a nurse so I could help others. Because you meet a lot of the family, you can help people get through times when they're suffering and speak to them. Then there's times that when you was at the hospital and kids tried to take their lives, and you can talk to them and try to help them through this. by explaining that I've done the same thing and that God loves them. I think I've got the message through to hundreds of kids that I have talked to when I worked in the hospitals, of telling them about my story of trying to overdose, and that God loves us. I still have issues, but God and I are working them out.
That's hard to watch, isn't it? Overcome by emotion of what somebody did to a child so many years ago. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around such cruelty and such evil that people are capable of doing to others. Maybe for some of you, this opens up old wounds, things that you've experienced. Maybe others of you are friends with Vicky and seen the experience that she has had to go through and the baggage that she's had to carry ever since breaks your heart. The abuse that Vicky's dad passed out to all of his kids seems incredibly horrific, but it's not unique. If you just turned on your TV this past week and you watched the news, you saw a black man shot and killed on Easter Sunday for no apparent reason whatsoever. We see the president of Syria gassing his people. We see a ninth grader in Waukee feel so overcome by his depression and feel so hopeless that he took his own life. It feels like almost every year there's a kid in the metro who's taking their own life because life feels so hopeless, because the suffering that they're enduring feels so heavy. And then a family is left to pick up the pieces of this life cut tragically short. Evil and suffering is all around us. And as Christians, we have to know how to respond when we're faced with it ourselves. Getting back to Vicky's story, the one question that always jumps into my mind when I see child abuse is, God, how can you, a God of love, allow an innocent child to experience this horror? And I often know for the people who have endured it, for the victims who have felt the pain directly, they often feel, God, are you even here right now? Do you even know that I'm here? And some people might feel like asking that question, it should bring guilt, like, I shouldn't even ask that question. They feel bad for thinking those thoughts. And other people who've never experienced it might say, well, the fact that you're asking that question shows that you're actually stepping away from your faith. That's terrible. But that couldn't be further from the truth. Asking those questions does not show stepping away from your faith. Because when we look at the Bible, the most honest book which has ever been written, it covers all the facets of humanity. It shows people writing these exact same questions. Over half of the Psalms are lament. The prophet Habakkuk, it's a book we don't turn to very often, but I think he asked this question so perfectly. What we want to ask when we feel like we fall victim to the same injustice and evil in the world. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it opens up with this. He writes, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Here we see Habakkuk basically asking God, God, why do you allow these evils in this world? It doesn't seem logical that a loving God who loves us so much and is able to do all things would allow those he loves to experience such pain and suffering without stopping it. As mothers and fathers, how many of us could see our own child going through pain like Vicky went through and not rush in to stop it? And therein lies the famous problem that's called the problem of evil and the problem of suffering. The problem of evil asks the question, why would a why would a good and all-powerful God allow evil and suffering? And that single question has been the number one reason that people have stepped away from their faith and have stepped away from God in every generation. It's not a new problem or a new challenge to Christianity. It has been the problem that religion has been trying to answer through all time. And today, I don't plan to solve this for you. I can't wrap it up in a nice little cute bow and put it on top and have my answer mean anything to you. If I thought I could, then I'm not worth listening to. This problem has been facing people for millennia. But what I can do is point out three facts that we can know for certain when we face evil and suffering in the world. Fact number one that we can be certain about: we know that God is good. No matter what you experience or what you go through, never, ever doubt God's goodness and his love for you. Even when you scream at the top of your lungs and hear nothing except silence in return, trust that God is still good and he still loves you. That is who he is. It's his very character is goodness and love. So if he ceases to be good, then he ceases to be God. Your own circumstances and your ability to hear from him or not, that can be flipped upside down. You can be rattled around. You can lose your orientation and not know up from down. And that's why we can't simply trust our own emotions, our own gut. God, are you still real? If we solely base it on how we feel, we can be tripped up, manipulated, and begin to lose that faith. But God, by definition, is good and is love. And we simply have to hold on to that fact regardless of what it is that we are walking through. King David, the man after God's own heart, had the same experience of feeling like God had abandoned him when he wrote this famous line in Psalm 22, many of us know, my God, why have you forsaken me? Clearly, David felt abandoned. He felt alone. He felt injustice and like God wasn't there to carry him out of it. Even Jesus felt that exact same silence when he uttered that exact same phrase from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? If you've experienced that feeling, you are in good company. That is a feeling that is common to people as they walk through these incredibly difficult events. But I'm confident that neither King David, who also penned many psalms about God's goodness and his love, and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, never truly doubted God's goodness. I'm confident they never doubted it. They always believed that God was good, even in their darkest moments where they did feel alone. Additionally, we have to know that if God is good, then we can also be certain that the evil we are facing was not his doing. God did not cause this evil on you. He did not orchestrate it in your life. He's not building a test to see if you pass it or how much weight you can carry on your back. God is not a cruel puppet master who's just pulling the strings of your life to see, hey, we've got to make, you know, downtime so that people can experience the good times. That's not who he is. And so he cannot be blamed for the challenges in your life. If you remember, we just came out of a series where we do have an enemy who can be squarely blamed for all the challenges, all the evils that we face are his doing, as he is the one who is trying to destroy us. Number two, we know that God is all powerful. Just like there are countless verses and stories about God's goodness and his love, the Bible is a massive testimony to the omnipotence, the all-powerful nature of God. He created the entire universe. He commands the stars in the sky and the sea below. He controls the hearts of kings, the Bible tells us. And so even when calamity strikes us, may we never doubt God's infinite power. It's not that he cannot do something to stop the evil. It's that for some unknown reason, he chooses not to. Yet. And I know this is the pill that's so hard to swallow. This is the pill that makes some people say, that makes God not fair, I'm out. And they step into atheism. It's also the thing that some Christians look at it and go, God, where else would I run? And say they run to God and they cling to him even more firmly. Why would God allow Vicky to experience even one night with her dad coming into her room? Why would God allow your child to be diagnosed with that disease? Why would God allow that suicide, that murder, that genocide, or that abuse? I don't know, and neither do you, because we're finite. We can only see from the lens of today. We can only see what we can see. Somehow we have to trust, if God is all powerful and God is all knowing, that he has a perspective that is different from our own. He has a perspective where he's able to look at these events and know, hold on, wait. My action or my inaction can't be judged if it's good or not because you guys don't know the full story. And so somehow we simply have to trust, yes, God is all powerful. And he has the ability to act or not act. And in his infinite wisdom, he is choosing not to act yet. And there's one more thing that we know for certain about God as it pertains to evil and suffering. And this is where the good news lies. Number three, we know that God will use your pain for good. We see this in this very common, incredibly powerful verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, where we read, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Here is where Christianity shines brightest compared to all the other ways of the world. The world offers absolutely no meaning for pain or for suffering. Those who turn away from belief in God, often to atheism, are left with a meaningless life directed solely by their own search for joy and for happiness because there's no overarching meaning. There's no divine purpose. And therefore, every single thing that they experience, including the pain, the toil, and the suffering, serves no purpose. It serves no direction. There's no way that it's moving. It's simply the chaos of the cosmos spinning in a meaningless realm. And if you just happen to be unlucky enough to have this fall to you, well, that sucks for you. Too bad. That's what the world has to offer. Christianity, meanwhile, tells us that the God who redeems our messy lives from sin and from shame is the same God who chooses to redeem our pain and our suffering and give it a divine purpose. He offers us a hope of something even bigger than ourselves in the midst of our hopeless situation. He says, "I know what you're going through, and I know it hurts so bad. And while we may feel alone, we have to trust that God never leaves us. He's just right there silently with us, giving us the strength to endure, saying, you have no idea. You have no idea how I'm going to use this. You have no idea what good this is going to bring. If you saw from the angle that I see from, you'd know. But you can't, but you have to trust me." When we look at this verse, we see some really important phrases here. It starts out with all things. And we know that in all things. Here, Paul's just written about the present sufferings in the verses just ahead of this. And he said that all creation is groaning. So he's in the part of Romans where he's saying, I know this world is hard. I know that you guys carry heavy burdens. But in all things. That means, yes, the good, but it also means the bad. It means the difficult, the evil, and even the horrific that we don't even want to think about. In all things, all of it can be used for the good. For the good. This phrase is the one that's most difficult for me, and you know why that is? Because I don't get to define what the good is. That's God's job. I want to make it this, or I want to make it that. I want to see the good in a way that I go, yeah, I know that that's good. But we don't get to define that. And so I don't know what good is going to come from my pain or my suffering. In fact, I'm not even privy to when I'm going to experience the good. Whether it's going to be in this physical body, or it may be on the other side of eternity, that I get to see how the good all worked out for my own pain. And that's why we need faith. We simply have to trust the situation, which looks so bleak and so painful on the inside, will through the lens of eternity bring good to the world. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to trust God with your pain? Finally, it ends with, this is for those who love him and have been called. This promise of God, and that's what this is a promise, he will bring this to fruition, is only to be claimed, though, for those who love God and are following him. God's desire is to turn your pain that you've experienced, the pain that the world says is meaningless and something that you simply must endure, it's to turn it into something greater than yourself. Something which shines light on his own glory. And obviously, if you're not a follower of Jesus, you don't really care about God's purpose. You don't care about the direction that he's trying to move the whole world forward as the kingdom of God advances. So you want it to go that way. You're defining good that way, but God's saying, no, the good goes this way. And that's why this promise is only for the believer. It's only for those who say, God, I understand good in the same way you understand good. I want this to be used for your divine purpose. I want this to be used for your glory in some messy way. I don't know how, but if you do that, then I'm happy that you're happy. For Vicky, I'm sure when she tried ending her life and was saved in the hospital, she was probably never thinking about the good that could come from her experience. In fact, in the years that followed, where she said to me, and I couldn't put it all in the video, where she told me about how for years she'd contemplated suicide and she'd carried this burden. I'm sure that through all of that, she was probably never expecting that God could use the mess of her life and turn it into something good. But God did use it. And because of Vicky's life and her faith, and she followed God's leading to become a nurse, she ended up impacting the lives of hundreds, did you hear that? Hundreds of teenagers who were thinking about ending their own lives, who had experienced pain just like Vicky experienced pain years earlier. And I love what she said. She told them, she told them that God loves them. Essentially, she was reminding them, God is good. Don't forget that. God is good. God still loves you. That lesson that she learned out of her own pain is a lesson that she's been able to bring to hundreds of teenagers who are facing this depression that, just like that ninth grader in Waukee, made the wrong decision. Hopefully she impacted so many who made the right decision. That the good that she would have never, ever seen coming has impacted hundreds of families and generations. This is incredible. This is God's infinite wisdom and his eternal perspective. God redeemed Vicky's story, and he wants to redeem your story too. No matter what you're experiencing right now or have experienced in the past, you must know that your pain is not pointless. God is not allowing you to suffer simply to test you or see how much load you can bear. It's so much more than that. Your pain has a purpose. What you suffer through will one day be used for good. You don't know what that looks like, but you have to trust God. Maybe you will have the blessing of seeing your pain used for good, and maybe you won't. see that until the other side of eternity. But you must trust that the God who knows all, can do all, will bring good out of the evil that you've experienced. But be warned, in knowing that God will use your suffering and pain for good, it is our human nature to want to see what that good is going to be right now. In the middle of the pain, sometimes we might be thinking, God, how are you going to use this? God, how are you going to take this pain I'm experiencing, this awful thing that just happened, how are you going to use that for good? I think now is the wrong time to be asking that question. Some of us like to, it's not our own pain, it's when somebody else is experiencing pain that we're thinking, huh, I wonder how God's going to use that pain. Oh, I know, maybe he's going to do this. And we think that by telling them what we think God might do with that pain will help them feel better. It's not, stop it. When somebody's grieving, you know what they need? They need somebody to sit with them in silence and just sit with them and just be with them in that moment. We don't need to be looking right now in the middle of the hurt and the darkness for what the end result is. That's the hope that we can talk about now, maybe when we have a little clarity in the midst of it. Let's not worry about that. Does that make sense? But that does bring us to the final application for all of us today. We need to learn to wade into the pain and the suffering of others to help them. Vicky spoke to the lives of hundreds of kids in pain. And while the video didn't show it, it was after Vicky attempted suicide. She's in that hospital. She's had her stomach pumped. That her grandmother, a woman of faith, steps in, says, Vicky, God's got more for your life than this. God's not done with you, her grandma told her. Her grandma waded into the hurt of her life. And she spoke to the hurt. She spoke to the pain. She offered the hope. She reminded her, God is good. God is all powerful. God's not done with you, Vicky. And that's what we have to learn to do. Sometimes it can be really uncomfortable when we see somebody who's hurting, when we see somebody who's grieving. We know they're going through something. They walk through the church doors, and you see on their face they're just down. And we almost feel uncomfortable. Well, how do you go up to them? How do you talk to them? I don't know, but guess what? It's our job to figure out how to wade into other people's pain, to offer them relief, to share carrying that burden on our shoulders beside them, that they know they're not walking it alone, that they have somebody continually reminding them, God is good. God still loves you. Even though you're screaming at the top of your lungs in your bedroom in prayer and hear nothing, God hasn't left you. Those are the words that we as the body of Christ have to offer to our brothers and our sisters who are experiencing such incredible suffering. That's what we're called to, and that's what we as a church have to do. We have to be willing to wade into the pain no matter how uncomfortable it can be. While philosophers may argue over the logic of the problem of pain and suffering, for the rest of us, the problem of pain and suffering is a very practical problem which can be solved by our love, by our grace, by our support and kindness as we share the burdens of those who are hurting and seek to bring healing to their wounds. This world is harsh and it sometimes knocks us on our heads. But we need to understand that in this upside-down kingdom of God, those tragedies and those experiences which Satan has tried to destroy us through are sometimes the most meaningful experiences in our lives. Not because we're masochists who love the pain, but because of the God who took our pain on himself on the cross to bring us healing. And that he is the same God who through his goodness and power chooses to redeem our pain. Oftentimes, when we look back at the life we've lived so far, the things that have changed us the most, that have shaped us the most, are the things that we never would have wished on ourselves. But that's how God works. Like Joseph from the Bible, he told his brothers back in Genesis, they hated him so much they wanted to get rid of him. So they put him in a pit and they sold him into slavery so that he was apart from his family for decades. And when he was reunited with them, you know what he said? He told him, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. May that be your story. May that be my story. Clearly, that's Vicky's story. Satan intends to harm you, but God intends it for good. And he will turn that pointless pain into something of divine purpose, bringing good to the world.